Hey, deserving listeners, this episode is just for patrons of the podcast. So if you're listening to this, then you are a patron, and thank you so much for being a patron. This episode is an excerpt, one of the excerpts from the 11th anniversary show. Now, if you're one of those people who doesn't like rambly episodes, then I wouldn't recommend listening to this. But if you like that sort of thing, then listen. So enjoy.
Psychology in Seattle.
We're almost at the halfway point, Berto.
Are you kidding me? That's crazy. And I didn't think we could do it.
Well, and what's so funny is that we've only got to like 25% of the content I had planned. Okay.
Are we going to do a top 11 list?
Yeah. So concerts you've attended.
So I love it.
This was actually put forth by patron Jed.
Damn it. If I start with number 11, fine. Okay. Corey Feldman and the Angels.
I remember when you went. That was just like last year.
I think it was 2 years, but maybe it was last year. It was so... Oh, yeah, it was last year. It was so... a combination of ridiculous, over-the-top, fascinating. Corey Feldman, if people don't know who he was an 80s star. He was in The Lost Boys, which is one of my favorite movies. And Goonies. And so he had a rough time of it. He got abused in Hollywood.
He was a Michael Jackson friend.
Yeah, well, although he claims he stands by MJ, yeah. But he had a rough time in Hollywood. He has stories. I don't think he's named one of the people. But anyways, but then as he grew up, he started following his passion of being a musician. And the thing I'll say is he's very passionate. He also, there was a moment in the show where I actually thought, you know, I wish someone could mold this because he, for a second, I got a Jim Morrison show vibe, like almost going a little Doors direction.
So he does a, Bronwyn, this is concerts we've attended. So he also does a Michael Jackson impression. So yeah. All you have to do is Google... Corey Feldman concert. The other thing is he became famous on YouTube because he had this really embarrassing gig that he played like at a baseball game or something.
It was a TV show. It was one of those host shows.
No, before that.
Oh, before
so that's
that?
How he got on that. Before that, there was a viral video of him, I think literally at a baseball game.
I didn't see that one.
In a hallway where no one was watching except for one person with a cell phone, if I'm remembering it right. And it was so cringy that then he got on the TV show and then he went on a tour because he wouldn't have been on the tour otherwise.
And but that was a tour a long time ago.
What?
That was a while ago.
What?
The tour after the TV show. When I went to see him, it's like he's been now playing for years with that band.
Right, but, well, maybe I'm mixing up the events. Yeah. But anyway, the point is that you and your
friend Ron
and others didn't go to be entertained by Corey Feldman.
No.
They went to laugh at Corey Feldman.
We went because it was like, what the heck, right?
Well, it was the same thing when Charlie Sheen was going on tour. People didn't show up to his talks to be illuminated. Right. They went to laugh at him.
Sure.
And I find that to be a little like...
distasteful?
Like, you asked if I wanted to go, and I was like... there's a part of me that wants to go, sure.
But who's laughing at who? Because, first of all, I paid premium price for those tickets, number one. Number two, I gotta say, even though the show is musically not to my taste...
is anything to your taste?
The show was not musically to my taste, I do admire his passion, number one. Number two, we met him after the show.
You did?
Yeah, and he is an extremely nice individual.
Yeah. He's a very nice guy.
He is a sweetheart. And I will also say that he was better than his opening act.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But it was quite a spectacle, though, because like the whole time he's got videos playing, just like we used to do with Missionary. And his videos are of himself doing movies and other musical things.
Yeah.
But they didn't mute the audio in the videos. So there was audio from the videos mixed in with the audio that they were playing. And so a lot of the time, it was just this cacophony of sounds. And it wasn't like that was the point of it. It was like, no one thought, like, wait, like we should mute the video. Like, that's not adding to this. That's taking away from this.
Oh.
The other thing I'll point out is his guitarist at the time, I don't know if she's still with him, is this amazing female guitarist from Mexico. And she was the highlight of the show. She actually played a solo, like a little sequence that they let her do. Oh, it blew me away. She was really great.
So I want to say, Danielle, patron Danielle, you get a pin because you upgraded to another tier level. And so does patron Aileen. Aileen made a big jump. And you get a pin along with whatever swag you get at that level. So if you want a pin, become a patron and or upgrade. So Kathleen is trolling us and says one of you is totally adorable. we'll just try to leave you.
I think she means Stacy, which is not here right now.
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm on number 11.
11.
My number 11 is Plastic Polly.
Oh!
But which show, you ask? January 2015, West Seattle.
Oh, God.
No one came. So this is Umberto's band.
Yeah.
You played with Brant and Danny's band, too.
Yeah.
And that other band with the trumpet player.
Right.
And no one was there. I've talked about this on the podcast before.
Yeah.
When you're a musician and you're playing gigs in Seattle, especially in the beginning, no one's coming to your show unless you harangue your friends and family. And for whatever reason,
I'm not good at haranguing.
And
neither in that band was I.
Yeah.
Good,
so you had three guys in a band.
Yeah.
No one was good at haranguing.
Yeah.
Two of my friends' bands were playing that night. I went.
Yeah.
And I've been there before, not only as a performer, but as an audience member. But usually there's like at least a couple people. One.
Right.
The other band is usually in the room.
Right.
Two, the sound guy usually is in the room.
Right.
How can you be a sound guy and not watch it?
Right.
For whatever
reason. Well, actually, the band was in the room.
So no,
they
weren't.
Those were the people.
No, they weren't.
Well,
there was a point.
His name was?
No.
Well, not the whole time, but.
For the first 75 minutes of your show, I was. No joke.
the only one.
And it was a pretty big room, too.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, like, man, this must be a Guinness Book of World Records. You know what I mean?
It could be. Well, there might have been a zero, but.
But because that's unheard of to be like three people playing like a earnest rock show.
And we were playing it, man.
And just to me.
Yeah. I didn't pull back. I didn't hold back any punches.
Now, having said that, I've always loved Umberto's band. I actually stole his drummer for my band now.
Yeah.
And it was always a great time. Plastic Polly, one of the best bands. Go listen to him on...
I'm proud of the CD, even if only one person listened to
it. Yeah, no, I'm joking. I'm joking about the show. The show ended up being really fun, by the way.
Kirk was serenaded, says Lyndon.
But go to Spotify and listen to Plastic Polly, Umberto's band.
Hilarious.
Number 10, Umberto.
Number 10 is Moby. I went to a Moby show at the Showbox. It was not the normal Showbox, the Showbox Soto. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. Man, I mean, like a friend of mine, Ron, was like, hey, you should come to the show. And I went, but kind of like just to go. Because I liked Moby's songs, but I wasn't like, dude, what an amazing show. Because he was playing guitar, he was singing, he was being very musicianly. Not just playing, you know, like very good. And the music was great. I was really impressed. Really enjoyed it.
My number 10 is the Smashing Pumpkins.
Mm.
This was 1992, so this is right after Siamese Dream came out, I believe, and it was at the Oz. Do you remember the Oz?
Yeah.
It was a dance club.
Yep, yep.
Like an all-ages dance
club. Yeah, I used to go there. I went there a few times to dance.
Yeah, I went there all the time on Saturday. But for whatever reason, this dance club also had concerts because the Smashing Pumpkins weren't big enough to have legit venues. And it was crazy. It was a wonderful. I saw them 3 years later at the Paramount. Had great seats, but they were much better performers by then. And
I see.
Anyway, you're number 9.
Okay, The Killers. The Killers at the Moore Theater. Mm. I
heard it was super loud though.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. It's just such an energetic show. I love their songs. It was kind of like super exciting. They had this vibe where at the time they were getting famous, but they weren't as big as they were going to get. But they filled that room. It was literally filled, and they just, like, their music filled. Yes, sure, it was very loud, but it was just really well performed. And the Brandon Flowers, right, the main guy, he was, like, awesome.
Yeah, good band. Number nine for me, The Shins. This I've seen them a number of times, but my favorite was seeing them 6 years ago. Stacy got me tickets for my birthday to see The Shins at Showbox, the normal Showbox. And the audience for The Shins, they're so nice that I could kind of weasel my way right up to the front. You know, at some shows like Soundgarden or something, you're not going to be able to weasel your way to the front.
No.
But with The Shins, it was like a bunch of nice indie rock people, and I just sort of like, you know, got up to the front. All right, number eight for you.
Funny enough, when I went to see the Beta Band with their opener, The Shins.
Oh, wow.
The Shins. And The Shins were... like, so I had discovered The Shins. Do you remember how, I guess they still do it, but back in the early...
Stacy's back.
Hi, Stacy.
Bearing gifts.
Two more things. Okay. So in the early 2000s, I was trying to find new music.
Yeah.
And one of my primary mechanisms, late 90s, early 2000s, was I would go to Amazon and I would see lists that people had made. And one person had made this list of some of their favorites, and they had this band listed, The Shins. And they said, oh, this is like this, like Beach Boys meets like indie rock meets Americana. Like, it's really great. I'm like, sounds crazy. So I ordered the CD, and it was their first CD. And I was, of course, instantly smitten. I thought it was great. So, but I didn't know that they were actually opening for Beta Band. I had gone to see the Beta Band. And then I'm like, oh, I know The Shins. So then and they played amazing. And right afterwards, I met them, and I met James, and I basically like had a conversation. And since they weren't big, it was totally easy to have a conversation. And he was into video games. And I was working as a 24-hour podcaster at the time, and a lot of times I talked about video games. And so I basically, like, we started talking about that, and we had a little connection. And then, long story short, I did something for him that he appreciated, so he put me in the liner notes for his next album in the thank you.
What?
Yes. Yeah, Humberto Castañeda is in the liner notes of the second Shins album.
How come I've never known this?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And that concert was amazing. The Beta Band was amazing. They had two drummers. The Beta Band had two drummers and stuff. So
their band was amazing back then because, you know, that band completely broke up and Mercer started a whole new band, which is also good, but not as that early band was. They were so indie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I discovered The Shins through Kazaa, actually. Like, I was just downloading a bunch of songs and... somehow I downloaded a Shin song from their first album, and I was not really that, you know, I was just listening to a smattering of music. And when I heard like one song of the Shins, and I was just blown away. And I thought, wasn't this funny that I found this super independent, completely obscure band? And I started playing it for everyone. They're like, wow, that's pretty good. But I thought, you know, that'll be that.
Right.
Then I go and see, Garden State, and Zach Braff has plastered The Shins all over that movie, and I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh.
But the way he introduces new slang to the girl, to Natalie Portman, right? It's like, this song will change your life.
Yeah. But at first I was like, oh my God, it's The Shins, and then I was like, it's going to be big now, you know? And so that's the... hipster dilemma.
That's the hipster dilemma. Well, it's like when The Boys was coming out, I could have sworn I had bought a framed number one issue of The Boys. And I was like, oh, yes. And then it came out, and I was looking for it. I'm like, oh, I think I never bought it. Like, it might have been too pricey already or something. And I was like, and now they're like tripled in price.
My number eight is Jane's Addiction around 1991. This is the first Lollapalooza. I went to the very first Lollapalooza.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and Jane's Addiction, Susie and the Banshees, Living Color, remember them?
Yeah, of course I do.
The Cult of Personality.
So good.
Nine Inch Nails. You love Nine Inch Nails, right?
Oh, yeah, you saw Nine Inch Nails at the first Lollapalooza. Wow.
Violent Femmes, Fishbone.
Oh, my God.
Ice-T, Butthole Surfers, Rollins Band, and Lords of Acid, who I don't remember. But Jane's Addiction closed the show. And you know that album cover where they have the two women on a chair and they're like Siamese?
Yep.
Well, they did that on the, I mean, they weren't joined, and then, Ferrell actually like,
oh my God,
did stuff with them. Anyway, it was an intense show. All right. You're number seven, Berto.
I told you I was scared of Jane's Addiction when they first came out. what's number what? Seven?
Seven.
Oh, Coldplay. I know. And wow, how could I put them up? Have you been to a Coldplay concert?
Above the Shins?
I know, but we're talking about concerts, not music.
I've never been.
Okay.
And I never will.
Well, I'm sorry.
You're not going to catch me going.
Okay, Seinfeld. They put out.
Because I have taste in music.
First of all, they have great songs, number one. Number two, they put on a great show. They put out, I'm like mainstream man here. I went to a one at the Key Arena, and it was awesome. They had all these little visuals. They handed out all these little lighty things, and maybe I'm just a cat, and I like lights. But it was amazing. It was really great. And I've seen them three times, I think.
Three times?
Yes.
I mean, I was going to take away your hipster card, but you've never been
I've never claimed to be a hipster.
Yeah.
I just found out about Nine Inch Nails. I'm just kidding. But anyways, I really enjoyed it. And by the way, Nine Inch Nails would be on this list. Of course they would be. I just never had the pleasure of going to a Nine Inch Nails concert.
How do you put those things? Okay.
But the concert was, a concert list.
I've heard enough. Okay. My number seven is First Aid Kit at the Moore Theater. Stacey and I went 5 years ago. Again, very nice people in the audience, so I was able to get right up front. So there, I could have grabbed their feet. You know what I mean? We were right there. And there is something about First Aid Kit. If you don't know, it's two sisters from Sweden, and they sound like sort of country rock, but folky. It's more like, it sounds, if you heard it, you'd think, oh, this is a song from the 60s, right? And I should say folk rock, not so country, but it is, their voices are just, their harmonies and the songwriting and the words are just, they just rock me to my core. And I can't tell you what it is about it, but every time I listen to First Aid Kit, like, it just makes me want to cry. Like, every single song is just like, oh. So seeing them live, it was just
a treat.
Yeah, it was just amazing. You're number six.
Okay. Number six was the White Stripes, also at the Moore Theater.
I could see that.
I'm sorry. I already love their music in general, but I went because, again, just like, okay, well, I'll go see the White Stripes. I wasn't expecting, and, you know, his sister or whatever, she's great, but, man, that guy is a showman.
It's not a sister.
Whatever, Meg.
Yeah.
It's almost just his show because she's just kind of on the side doing her little drumming. He is like Led Zeppelin all in one.
Yeah.
It's so raw, and his guitar playing is so amazing, and his voice and the way he gets into it, he puts like 150,000% into every song. I was blown away. No special effects.
Yeah.
No backup band, nothing.
Yeah, I can see that. My number five is, this is sort of a cop out, but I'm just saying, going to South by Southwest a few years ago. We were there with Lita, actually, me and Stacey. I saw hundreds. I mean, how many bands do you think we saw? Like 100 bands, 80 bands or something?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
They were everywhere.
And and it was music heaven for me. Wow. South by Southwest, just the best. We got to go back next year. I want to go to Mardi Gras, and I also want to go to South by Southwest.
Have you ever been to Mardi Gras?
No.
I haven't either.
Let's do it.
We got to do a live from Mardi Gras podcast extravaganza in the red light, or in the whatever that street
French
is.
French district.
French district.
French Quarter. My childhood friend, his in-laws live on the main street. They have one of those palatial homes right on the trolley street and the parade. Anyway, and they can show us around. You're number four, Bruno.
Okay. No, five.
Bye, Aileen. Thanks for becoming an upgraded patron. You get a pin.
Yay. I think
if you're the same, Aileen.
I think we're on number five.
Oh, I skipped my number six, but I'll interchange them.
Okay. My number five was Billy Joel at the Key Arena.
Ooh.
Yeah. Crime Against Humanity.
Yeah, you've talked about this before.
Because we thought, just like every concert, there's an opening act. So we were taking extra long on our dinner, me and my buddies, and we get there, and Billy Joel's already probably halfway through the freaking concert. And yet, even missing that, it was still such an amazing concert. That guy, after alcohol abuse, all these things, and his voice sounded like the records. It's great. It was beautiful. So
my number five is The Sundays, 1991, Moore Theater. For those old enough to remember The Sundays, they were just a wonderful band, front womaned by a woman, a British band. Their first album was a constant on concert rotation when I was 20 years old. Beautiful songwriting. And among me and my college friends, we listened to The Sundays all the time.
Wow.
So
that would have been your number six.
Yeah. But you're number four, Berto.
My number four, someone here is going to like this a lot, Depeche Mode. Oh. Now, I've seen Depeche Mode like four times, I think.
Yeah.
There was one in particular, and it was
the second show wasn't that good.
Yeah, well, no, it wasn't. It was the second concert of theirs I ever saw. And it's because, so the first concert I saw was probably the purest form of them, because they hadn't yet transitioned into
rock,
right? But the second concert, even though they now fully had drummer and all the stuff and everything, the show was so well put together, and there were some really, really tender moments.
So that must have been after I feel you. Was it
and
then?
Now I can rock. Yeah, it was sadly after that. Yeah. To me, all Depeche Mode music, and I know I have some of my friends that would hate that I say this, but to me, Violator was their last album.
Totally. I don't think, well, I guess you might have some friends who would disagree, but I think most Depeche Mode fans would
yeah, some
would
people
agree.
Really like some of it, but I don't. I like Violator. But anyways, that was an amazing concert. So.
Yeah. I didn't put any
what
of the Depeche Mode on my...
90, someone's asking me the year. I think it was 93.
Three, I'm guessing. Yeah.
93.
You saw Violator, which was 90, actually.
I saw that in 90. Yeah.
My number four, again, sort of a cop-out, is all the Bumbershoot shows we've ever been to. So Bumbershoot is the local music festival in Seattle, and it's been going on for decades. I've been going since I was a teenager, and perhaps the best Bumbershoot I ever went to was in 1990 when I saw Posies and Soundgarden. So I loved the Posies. I'd heard of Soundgarden, but I wasn't really into them. And I loved the Posies, which was the biggest Seattle rock band at the time.
Did we determine that you and I might have been at the same UDove concert at the Hub?
Probably not.
Okay, because I saw the Posies at UDove.
Oh, I never... UDove or yeah. UDove? So
at the Hub at UDove.
Oh, okay. But I've seen dozens and dozens of bands at Bumbershoot over the years. We have tickets again to go this year. If anyone's going on Friday, maybe we'll see you. You're number three, Berto.
This will also make someone happy on this list. The Cure.
Ooh.
Now, The Cure could have made my number one had it not been for a couple heavy hitters here.
Which concert?
The 1991.
We might have actually... So this is...
So the Depeche Mode concert, actually, the first Depeche Mode concert I saw was not 1990. It was 1992.
Oh.
And because my first concert of all time...
Oh, no, yeah.
The first concert I ever went to was The Cure, and it was in 1991.
So this is maybe where you think we overlap, because we might have been at that...
At the same concert.
Yeah. It was in Key Arena.
Yes. And I went all the way to the front. I was like front row, watching The Cure, playing. I didn't know, like, you could have so many musicians on the stage playing pop rock music and sound so good together.
Yeah.
So clear. It was beautiful. And I mean, what a performer. Talk about a performer. So, and that was my first concert. So it was spoiled, you know, I was a little spoiled for that to be my first.
Yeah, I was at that show. We were at that show together. We passed in the night, like two podcasters.
Oh, and BC was there too, 1992.
Bronwyn was
there.
In Sydney. Sydney.
Okay, which is funny because at that time in 1992. They were 92. I was 91. But at that time, my alias in my cross country team was BC.
That's right. my number three is Nightwave, which is a local 80s cover band.
Whoa. Oh, okay.
And it was when I've seen him like a handful of times, but the time we saw him in Linwood, Stacy, remember that show? Was just so fun. We went there with some friends of ours, and there was hardly anyone in the audience. And we so it's this local 80s cover band, but they actually play all the music. So if it's A-ha or Depeche Mode, they have two or three keyboardists actually deftly playing all the parts live, which most 80s cover bands would never attempt to do, let alone do. That, and they put on a great show, and I'm friends with the lead singer now because he came to see me play, my Strokes band play, and he liked it.
What?
So I got a little...
Oh, that's the band that... Okay, you did tell me that. That's
yeah, right. All right, you're number two, Berto.
Hold on, I want to find out who Schultzy saw.
Is Stacy doing a top...
James Brown?
Is Stacy doing a top 11? No, she doesn't want to. Maybe next year.
Imagine walking in at 12 to see a random band and you don't know who they are, and it's James Brown and the All-Stars.
Wow.
That's crazy. My numero dos is... let's see if you can guess. I don't no longer follow their records, but I really loved their late 90s, early 2000s records. And they play immaculately live, even though their songs are complex.
Late 90s.
England.
Oh, not Oasis.
No.
I was really going to hate you for that. Green Day? No. What?
Dick watering can.
What's happening?
For the fake plastic rubber.
Radiohead.
Yes, Radiohead.
Well, actually, Steven helped me.
Okay. I watched Radiohead 3 times now.
Yeah.
Unbelievable every time. Yeah. The best one ever was at the White River Amphitheater.
Well, that was the one I went with you.
Yes. Oh, my God. So good.
Well, that was right after In Rainbows.
Yes. And they had, like, the huge displays and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really good concert.
Brutal.
I totally forgot about that concert, actually.
Brutal awesome.
Yeah. In addition to playing Strokes songs and we're going into Smashing Pumpkins, we actually did a stint of just playing Radiohead songs.
Yeah, right.
Which I loved. Me and the band loved to play Radiohead, but the audience was kind of like...
Too moody.
Yeah. Yeah, it was too. All right. My number two, Stacy and I went to this show. Do you know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
What?
Tears for
Fears. No. Number two.
Oh. Well, you just spoiled the surprise for the party.
That's another show we really liked. It wasn't like amazing, but we had a good time. It was Paul McCartney at Safeco.
Oh, yeah.
So Stacy got us tickets to see Paul McCartney at Safeco. Yeah,
that wasn't bad.
This was a humongous baseball field, you know, concert, stadium concert. But it was July 2013, so 6 years ago.
Oh.
It was really great because Paul was sounding great. I saw him a couple years ago, and he wasn't sounding great by then. He was still sounding great, and he brought out the Nirvana guys, and they wrote a song together, and he played, like, no joke, 36 songs. He played John Lennon songs. He played Beatles songs. He played his old. He just played so many great songs. And
intense.
I'm just such a massive Beatles and Paul fan that it was a great time. Brito, you're number one.
So I was your number two?
That was my number two.
My number one. You might have heard of this. Paul McCartney at Safeco Field! Of course! 3 hours! 3 hours he played.
That's hilarious that we
three
both...
3 hours!
Yeah.
With the fireworks in Live and Let Die. Yeah. Live and Let Die! Boom! Oh my God. And then, yes, they come out and play with Novoselic and Navarro and what's his name? Dave Grohl. And then... He plays piano, he plays bass, he plays guitar. And like we've discussed, this show, he played like mostly all the old songs. He only played one new song.
Yeah.
And he played beautiful tributes to both George and John.
Yeah.
So the feeling I had, because I had seen him when he was 64 and he played Key Arena, is that when I saw that show, which by the way, before this show, had been my favorite show of all time, which was also amazing. But when I saw that one, I thought, oh, this is so great. But he definitely was still trying to peddle his wares, was my feeling.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. Like, you know, this show, I felt like he had crossed a new stage in life where he had, like, seen the mountaintop. And he was now like, oh. And he was, like, at peace with himself. And his voice was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he was singing freaking Long Tall Sally towards the end of the damn thing.
Yeah.
I can't, never.
Is so funny because I don't think we had a single thing that was the same, and then we both had Paul in our top two. All right. My number one, as Stacey said, Tears for Fears, 2016, Chateau St. Michel, which is a winery in Seattle. It's just this big, grass field. And of course, they serve a lot of wine, and you can picnic there, and then you get to watch the show. We did a whole episode about this 3 years ago, but in a nutshell, Stacey bought tickets online, and you know all those situations where it's sold out, but you can get like,
oh yeah, like you know, secondhand.
You pay like three times as much to get like, you know, a ticket. Well, we got a ticket, and you can buy general admission, which is, you know, White River amphitheaters like that. You know, general admission is the crappy seats in the back where you're just in a big grass field, and then the expensive seats are actually in the, you know, right up next in chairs. And long story short, we got there and the tickets weren't going to work because the tickets were fraudulent of some kind. Like someone defrauded us, essentially took our money, but they didn't. It was their fault. Like it was, it was the fault of the venue.
But you were feeling like, they wouldn't be. Like this isn't going to work.
Yeah. There was just like, and I was like, getting angry. Yeah, I mean, because I was really trying to work with them. I was like, you know, is there something we can do? And they sent us to this other person. And like, eventually they're just like, no, there's, and I had pulled on all the different levers and nothing had worked.
Where you're like, it's such a mad world.
Yeah.
And not my joke.
And then I'm on my way out and the guy says to Stacey, well, we can give you like complimentary shitty tickets so you could at least get in. So we like, okay, so we go in and then I have my eye on the bouncer who's letting people into the good section. And I'm like, he's not really paying attention. And I was like, I bet you anything. Like, and
well,
we
scanning there.
Well, plus we have the tickets in our hands of our seat numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at two seats that I think are ours. So I bet you.
There are open seats. They're probably yours anyways.
They are ours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I bet you, but I'm like, he's not going to let us in, but I bet you if I trick him, we'll get in.
Sneaky.
And I'm like, but we're probably going to get caught. And somehow, and you're like, no, right? You're like, no, we can't. And I'm like.
And we saw that they weren't scanning them there. They were just looking at them.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. But I went, it was more sneaky than that because I actually.
First you used them to go to the good bathroom.
Because I went in. And then I actually texted you and said, it's okay to come in now. Because you were scared. You thought we were going to get in trouble or something.
And were they like, stop stealing tickets?
Yeah. But then once the concert starts, you know, because it's all old people, right? Because it's Tears for Fears. I'm just telling the whole story now.
Yeah.
I decided that I wanted to be front and center because there's this little walkway that you can sort of like rush the stage. We were at the stage. We were, again, I could have touched their feet. It was amazing. All right.
It's blurry. They can't see it.
Different. That's a surprise, bro.
What's your number one? Oh, yeah. You just talked about it. Sorry.
So honorable mentions are Sting, R.E.M., Depeche Mode, The Cure, Bob Mould, Lemonheads, Jellyfish, Ben Folds, They Might Be Giants, Julian Casablancas, Duran Duran, Journey. Remember that show, Stace? Air Supply. We went to Air Supply on Valentine's Day 4 years ago. That was fun. Queen, Seattle Rock Orchestra, The Strokes, XX, Huey Lewis, Band of Horses, The Knack, Built to Spill, great band, Fastbacks, Beatniks, Marmalade, Chromeo, and countless others. I'm just upset that Brito didn't mention my band on any of it. You've been to a lot of my concerts, and I mentioned your band.
That's a good point. I should have said at least your band, if not also Missionary. Ah,
I mean, that's...
My bad. Sorry.
Who's the better friend?
You're the better friend. I was thinking like, you know, big concerts that I've been to, you know, like paying tickets kind of thing.